This is a Hipsters of the Coast podcast. This Doom Travelers podcast is brought to you by Hipsters of the Coast, your destination for magic news, strategy, and entertainment. And by Cast Haven, where you can build your magic collection like a pro. Visit casthaven.com for more information.
Oh man. Welcome to this week's episode of Doom Travelers, where we play Destiny and talk about Magic the Gathering. This week we are going to talk about the banned and restricted updates. So I will introduce my panel of guardians this week and pose to each of you the question: if you could ban any gun from Destiny, what would you ban? So we'll start with Rob Culpitz, proposal 1220. If you could ban any gun, what would you ban?
I would ban Gjallarhorn.
Gjallarhorn.
I ban Gjallarhorn because it seems to be a weapon that everybody has to have equipped, and I think that's bad for exotics to be that way. And it's, maybe even Icebreaker, even though I use it.
Oof, that's a questionable call. We're also joined by Dave McCoy, whose tag is McNasty Lulls. Dave, if you could ban any gun in Destiny, what would you ban?
And banning guns. I don't understand how Suros is a real weapon. That doesn't make any sense to the Suros regime. It's both an auto rifle and a functional scout rifle in one weapon. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, I guess I would ban that because I don't understand how it even happened in the first place.
Seems fair. And last but not least, Matt the Obliterator Jones. What gun would you ban?
I would ban all fusion rifles.
All fusion rifles.
Every single one.
I hate them. I think I would go with Dave on this one and ban the Suros regime, just because I'm sick of getting killed by it in the Crucible. but Icebreaker is an interesting call. I think a lot of people depend on Icebreaker for situations where they would otherwise have to just be better at the game. So.
Well, or die.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man. On that note, Dave, do you want to fire up a Crucible playlist?
Oh, I think Jones is the...
Oh, Jones is the... All right, Jones, fire.
And hold on a second.
Get us
to clarify, am I allowed to use Suros since everybody doesn't think it's unfair?
No, you can't.
Or is it on the banned list?
We'll say that it's banned on paper, but it hasn't been banned online yet.
it's restricted to view, Robert.
I will show you exactly how underpowered it is.
We'll say one Suros per fire team.
I'm definitely gonna break that rule.
Are we doing the top control or the bottom control?
Are you feeling top or bottom tonight, Jones?
I'm usually comfortable in both positions, David.
Let's start on top, and then if we get bored of it, we can switch.
That's what I usually do.
So getting back to Magic and not tops and bottoms in control. Last Monday the 19th, of course, Wizards announced the banned and restricted updates. Not too much surprising, except for the bombshell, of course, which was Birthing Pod being banned in Modern. Treasure Cruise Dig Through Time also banned in Modern. Legacy saw Treasure Cruise banned and saw World Gorger Dragon unbanned. And Vintage saw Treasure Cruise restricted and Gifts Ungiven unrestricted. Birthing Pod, obviously the big change, Modern being shaken up here with a few weeks to go before the Pro Tour. Overall, what do you guys think of the changes?
I mean, I think Birthing Pod, like you said, is the biggest news out of this BNR update. And I think it's the card that you can probably talk the most about out of all of them, too. I mean, Delve is obviously a broken mechanic, So but Birthing Pod has a lot more going on with it and why it's banned.
Right.
I mean, I have my connection to Birthing Pod is really weird because when I started playing again was right as Dark Ascension was turning into Avacyn Restored. And the card that I wanted to build my very first Magic deck around was Birthing Pod. And that's the one card that I loved when I came back. It's the first card that caught my eye.
Did you want to abuse some interactions with Undying mechanics?
Undying, yes. Like every young player that had just come back to Magic at that point, Undying and Birthing Pod seemed so good together. But, I mean, my deck was terrible, whatever.
And you're not that young, to be honest.
Come on. but the problem with Birthing Pod really was the fact that it just allowed you to repeat the same games over and over and over. It tried to beat the variance that's inherent in Magic by allowing you to search up whichever creature you needed whenever you wanted, which is just basically against all of Magic's as a game, Magic's core tenets. And sorry, go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, is Magic very RNG heavy? I mean, is it a basic tier of the game that...
It tends to be... The big thing about RNG and Magic is that, you know, there's this core premise that everyone kind of gets leveled in play because you're drawing a random card off the top of your deck every turn. So you've got, you know, 60 cards in your deck, and you can have at most 4 copies of any card. So there's certainly some randomness as to when you can draw certain cards. So when you have a card like Birthing Pod, which lets you get around that restriction, it's a problem.
Tutors are bad.
Yes, tutors are generally bad. But when I was thinking about why was Birthing Pod so powerful, part of it is being a tutor. That is undeniably one of the most powerful effects you can have in Magic, because you get to just go find whatever card you need to fit the situation. But the second part
called,
of what
it's called Tutor because of Demonic Tutor, the first tutor, which is a card that lets you go search your library for any card.
But I was trying to figure out in my mind if you took the Phyrexian mana away from it, if it was still as broken. Because when I was playing against Birthing Pod in Modern, I was a blue-white-red Geist player. The life, paying life to activate Birthing Pod was by far the most threatening part of the card because it allowed them to do it multiple times in a turn. And if I couldn't put pressure on their life total, Birthing Pod could just go off. Because they didn't have to use all of the mana required to activate it. So if Birthing Pod actually cost 4 and actually cost 2 mana to activate, would it still have been broken enough that it had to be banned? And I definitely don't know the answer to that question, but I feel like it would have been significantly less powerful if it cost the actual amount of cost. So
it certainly would have been less powerful of a card, but I think it's... The thing that tended to break Phyrexian mana cards, like Dismember, is the ability to play them in any colored deck. And Birthing Pod already wanted to fit into a green deck, so it didn't get to benefit from the big thing that Phyrexian mana cards benefited from. But that's not to say the card wouldn't have been more fair if you always had to pay 4 to cast it, right? Because that's the big thing. You're throwing this into play on turn 2 off of Birds of Paradise, and getting Birthing Pod into play turn 2 and then activating it turn 3 is a very different game than doing those things on turns 3 and 4. That said, I think the thing to me that seems the most powerful about Birthing Pod, really, is not that it just tutors cards up, because there's plenty of tutor effects that don't get banned. But Birthing Pod would put creatures directly into play. So now you're messing with two fundamental parts of the game. One is the random draws every turn, and two is the fact that you have to pay retail cost for your spells. And any time you can get away without paying retail for your spells, through alternate casting costs like Force of Will, or through an effect like Stoneforge Mystic, who can put Batterskull directly into play, you're just asking for trouble.
And the trouble is that the format gets super warped because the best decks become incredibly obvious, and everybody has to play them.
Yeah, you have to. The same thing happens, I think. Well, the only card game I'm familiar with is Hearthstone, but that seems to, when it's clear that, like, you have to play this deck to get to the top, then you have to ban that thing, right?
Right, exactly. And in Hearthstone, they did that. They nerfed Gadgets and Auctioneer recently, which was a card.
It's basically,
it's a creature. It goes into play, for those of you who don't know, and it allows you to draw a card every time you play a spell on your turn. It's not unlike Glimpse of Nature from Magic. So it's an effect that was very powerful, and you build around, and it was warping. Gadget Zen was warping the format. The deck was warping the format, and the same was true with Birthing Pod. So it's a good analogy, and that's very likely one of the main reasons why the card had to be banned in Modern, was because it was warping the formats, and I think the tournament results back that up.
Yeah, it won the most GPs out of any deck in the past 2 years. It had an amazing amount of success.
Yeah. And the format
also, the Pro Tour coming up, they need something different.
Yeah, so the Pro Tour coming up is a really great point, and it's important to remember that Wizards, when they first announced the Pro Tours for this year, all four Pro Tours were going to be standard. And the community outrage forced Wizards to make this Pro Tour Modern instead.
What's the difference between those two, quickly?
Standard. So all the tournaments would have been standard, which means you could only build your decks from cards that have been released in the past 2 years. That format changes every few months as the card pool changes. With every expansion. And Modern is every card available to you since 8th edition. So we're talking 2004, roughly. So it's a much wider card pool. At the time, Wizards, and I believe it was Tom Lapile, but I might be wrong about that. But Wizards Development was concerned that Modern was would not stand up to pro player scrutiny. And what they meant by that was they felt that if pro players got a chance to play Modern, that they would essentially figure out the format and figure out what the best decks were. And that was something they were very concerned about because it inevitably would have meant that the format would have to change. Otherwise, everyone would just play whatever decks the pro players played. But the community loves Modern. Modern's a very popular format. So we wanted to see a Modern Pro Tour. We wanted to know what Modern would look like with pro players. So Wizards decides that they need to change the format in order for the Pro Tour to be interesting, in order for the pros to actually have a challenge put before them, and the answer to that is banning Birthing Pod. So the Pro Tour, I think, has as much to do with this banning as any other factor. And the fact that it was... And that goes hand-in-hand with the fact that it was warping the format, but... Do you think, with Birthing Pod warping the format, if there wasn't a Pro Tour in 2 weeks, do you think they'd still ban Birthing Pod, or do you think they would just let people keep playing it at Grand Prix tournaments and the like?
And that's a really hard question. I mean, I think without a Modern Pro Tour, there'd be a lot less tension or pressure on Wizards to do anything about Modern. Same thing with Legacy. Like, Legacy is... basically untouched most of the year because there are no major publicity events that Wizards organizes around the format, so there's not a ton of pressure to do something about legal cards in Legacy. if there hadn't been a modern Pro Tour, there probably wouldn't have been as much any pressure really for Wizards to shake up the format.
So you think they would have just banned the Delve cards and that would have been it?
That's very likely. I can't imagine Wizards banning a card that
heavy ammo
isn't inherently Ancestral Recall, basically,
right.
Without a modern Pro Tour coming up.
No, I mean it seems very likely. So
what's interesting to me about these banning cards is the connection between the mechanics involved in both the Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time, as well as Birthing Pod.
Right.
They both feature quite heavily cost reduction mechanics. Like Delve makes cards cheaper to cast, and Phyrexian Mana allows you to forego paying mana and trading life for that mana. And it's interesting to see all three of the cards banned in Modern featuring that cost reduction, and wondering whether or not that's the real problem in R&D right now, is perhaps not understanding fully that cost reduction just can go horribly, horribly wrong, and they aren't nearly being as careful as they should be about it.
No, that's a good question. I think cost reduction mechanics are a huge amount of design space, right? There's so many things we've seen that can use a cost reduction mechanic. And time again, we see these come up, and almost inevitably something that, you know, gets banned, right? And Delve is really just the latest, right? And Delve is a very powerful mechanic, but it's not like every Delve card gets banned. Plenty of them
don't see neutralize.
Plenty of them get to stick around, right? So there's a bunch of Delve
cards.
Shambling
attendance for entry.
Right. Right. But I mean, Tombstalker was the first powerful Delve card, and, you know, it wasn't too powerful. You know, it's. I think the thing with Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time is the combination of two very powerful effects, right? One is the what you're talking about, which is reducing the cost of effects, and the other one is just blue's inherent power in card drawing, right? Card advantage. So when we combine card advantage with being able to reduce the cost of a spell, it's a recipe for disaster, right? Making kill cards cheaper, not a problem. Making creatures cheaper, not a problem. Making draw spells cheaper, problem. And, you know, it's something that just, it's again, it's a problem, not a problem with the design, but possibly a problem with the development of some of these cards. I think the last great example of this is maybe Bloodbraid Elf, as a card that reduced the cost of other cards and ended up having to be banned because of it. Stoneforge Mystic is another one that lives in the same vein. So Wizards makes these mistakes, but it's not always straightforward to predict, right?
Yeah.
So what do you what are they trying to do? Is they're trying to mix up the game? They're trying to introduce a new mechanic to make it more fun? I mean, it sounds to me like if that's a problem that they're having, they're trying to actually make use of something to add some variety that's not there, but it's like the way the game is made doesn't permit that variety. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's tricky because they're trying to make interesting mechanics, right? And in both cases, and we can we can use Delve and Cascade as kind of similar examples because they make things cheaper. Cascade, of course, being the mechanic that allows you to flip cards off the top of your deck and cast the first one for free that costs less than whatever you just played. So what we have here is a mechanic that's interesting, because it allows you to take an effect and overcost it, and then get a benefit from it. And these are positive effects, right? You're interested in playing a spell that costs a lot more than it should for its own effect, because it comes with a bonus effect. And the bonus effect sometimes is being able to play it for less mana. But sometimes it's what you combo that with that causes a problem, right? So Cascade is an example where not every Cascade card had to get banned. It was just the combination of what Bloodbraid Elf could do as a 3/2 haste creature with Cascade and fit into the right decks. Dig through time and Treasure Cruise are a similar situation, right? Delve is powerful, and it's an interesting mechanic because it encourages you to put stuff in the graveyard. But ultimately, when they combined cheap spells with card advantage, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I think that last point is really what ties all of the examples, including Bloodbraid, together, is the fact that they all have to do with the most powerful part of the game, which is essentially drawing a card, or drawing multiple cards. Living Pod draws you a card and puts it directly into the battlefield. Treasure Cruise draws you three cards for as little as one mana, which is insane. Dig Through Time, two cards out of seven. And Bloodbraid essentially draws you a card and casts it for you for free.
Right.
That is very dangerous territory, and when you don't cost those appropriately, they get the ban hammer, and that really that's exactly what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Cascade will come up again when we talk about Legacy Ban.
Yes, absolutely. I think there's... I do want to talk about Legacy, and I want to talk about the unbannings in all the formats, especially.
I have one thing I want to say about like the creation of Treasure Cruise and other Delve cards. I think that Wizards has a very complicated job, and then everything they make that will be standard legal is also Modern, Legacy, and just about every other format legal. And so, when they make a card that might be interesting, I mean, it's basically, it's Ancestral, right? It's a variation on Ancestral.
Yeah, it's basically Ancestral Recall.
Sure, so they're trying to make an Ancestral Recall that you can play in Standard. And,
right.
Then it goes into all these other formats, and it can, with a much larger pool of cards, and it could be much more abused. And so I wonder sometimes if they're just thinking, we'll make this for Standard, because I think it'll make an interesting Standard environment, and then if it starts being too difficult, or too good in the other formats, we'll just ban it from those formats. And I think that's like a legit thing that they probably think about.
Yeah, you're definitely right, and I mean, you can see with Fate Reforged, there's another card that's clearly an attempt to make a Standard playable Time Walk.
Yes.
And, you know, you have to wonder, is it something that Wizards is challenging themselves to do? Or is it something that maybe they should just give up on? I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, cards
Wizards
like...
Wizards doesn't give up on much.
No, and effects like Treasure Cruise, and Dig Through Time, this is something that Wizards is... constantly trying to make work, right? So Preordain, Ponder, you know, Sleight of Hand. Wizards is always trying to get this effect to work in Standard. And they often do get it to work in Standard. But the cost of doing so, like you said, is... very much felt in Modern and Legacy and Vintage, where these cards almost always end up being banned or restricted.
I wonder if they would make something that starts off, it's like, this is legal in Standard, but then it's automatically not legal in other formats.
I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, Jim. It's very, very hard, probably bordering on impossible, for Wizards to design for all formats at once. And I actually, like, despite the fact that I think Delve is inherently broken and probably one of the more dangerous things up there with Storm that they've made, mm-hmm. I do like the response that they had. They let it play out for, what, it was 6 months or so? 5 months or so?
Yeah.
No, and then banned it. In the formats where it was a problem. And I like that. I like them taking risks, because when I... The first time I played Magic was when I was a kid in Tempest, and that was when they had nerfed the game because they had made mistakes and were terrified of making the mistakes again. So I much prefer them taking risks and making smaller mistakes rather than stifling themselves and having us play Tempest over and over. So it's good that they... I appreciate the way that they handled it this time around, even though Delve was... very obviously very, very powerful. So.
Yeah, I definitely prefer them taking risks and correcting themselves afterwards than being afraid to take risks.
I definitely think they've learned their biggest lessons, which they learned back in Urza's block, when they printed cards like Tinker and Yawgmoth's Bargain. I don't think we're ever going to see them make a mistake that egregious again. Certainly not to the extent of Memory Jar, where they had to ban a card before it was even printed. You know, these are things that were huge mistakes in the past, but I think we're well past that point in our lives. But, you know, Wizards does continue to take risks, so which is a good thing.
Which is super good. I mean, it keeps the game... The potential for the game is so great.
Yeah.
And by allowing themselves to maintain that potential.
Yeah,
it's crazy design decisions and trying shit out and taking risks.
It's critical to do so.
It's always the best.
With Birthing Pod, I do think there's one other reason why they may have had no choice to ban the card. And this is something that came up many years ago with a card you may know called Survival of the Fittest. I talk a little bit about this in my article that goes up Monday. But Survival of the Fittest was banned in Legacy after Vengevine was printed. And Vengevine was a creature that, if it was in your graveyard and you played two other creature spells that turn, you could play Vengevine out of your graveyard for free. Well, what you had was Survival of the Fittest as a way to get all your Vengevines into the graveyard and search for cheap creatures to play. And the deck was very fast. But the problem, and the reason why they ended up having to ban Survival of the Fittest, wasn't really that the Survival Vengevine combo was oppressive, or that it was the most powerful thing going on, or that Wizards couldn't, or that, you know, the metagame was being warped because of it. The problem was that when you have a card like Survival of the Fittest, every time you print a creature, it has the potential to break that card. And it means Wizards can't take those risks. And what we've seen here is a similar situation where Wizards took a risk printing a card in Siege Rhino. And because of the existence of Birthing Pod, Siege Rhino became a big problem.
Right.
And it's, you know, if they kept Birthing Pod around, it means they can't continue to take risks with creatures. Because then...
Yeah, like, enter the battlefield creatures...
Right.
...has to be much more thought about, because Birthing Pod warps them and warps their
Exactly. Power. Like, if they wanted to make a 6-drop that was better than Wyrmcoil Engine... You know, that's not awful. Decks like Tron could use it. But giving a deck like Birthing Pod the ability to put it directly into play just continues to warp the format. And essentially, Birthing Pod deck would just get better every set. Every set that comes out would make Birthing Pod a more and more oppressive deck in the format.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the dangers of large card pools, is you make cards that are... good for standard and a very small card pool, but once they get access to more than something like, what, 1,000, 2,000 cards, something like that? Once you get access to such a significantly larger card pool, there are just more combos and infinitely more ways to break the card.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if you're going to make interesting standard cards, you're going to run into problems with all the thousands and thousands of cards you printed before, so...
Yeah, so you just have to respond accordingly. And I think they did a really good job here in doing that.
Agreed.
Well, let's hope they continue to do so. So I want to talk about the other formats. I want to talk about the unbannings. Legacy, of course, being one of the most interesting. So Treasure Cruise being banned in Legacy, what does that mean for Legacy?
Oh my
Legacy?
God, I want to talk about this so much. This
I know
is my
you
favorite
do.
Thing ever.
That's why I brought
I
it up.
I never give a shit about banning their restrictions. I'm just not usually interested. Because of Treasure Cruise, I had to play fucking Blue-Red Delver in Legacy because I was no longer allowed to play Shardless Bug. I had to play Bug Delver in Legacy because it was just so much better when everybody else gets to draw three cards for free or for one mana. Why would you play a card that requires three mana to draw cards off of Ancestral Vision? Like, it was just like, it ruined my favorite deck of all time, and I could play it, but its advantages and its goofiness was just removed by how consistently, how much more powerful all the new Delver decks were because of Treasure Cruise. And it's just like, I went to GP New Jersey, which was Legacy, with Dave, and I'm pretty sure I had a really bad cold. I'm almost positive that cold is a direct result of the sadness I experienced in not being allowed to play Shardless Bug. Like, I got sick because I wasn't going to be able to have fun with my good buddy Shardless Agent. And now I can fucking play it again, and it's almost like all of Magic's fun, which had been lacking for me for a little while, had reset, and I pulled out my cards and I looked at them. I kissed a couple of them, I'll be totally honest, totally kissed a couple of them. Welcomed them back in my life. I want to draft shitty sets that I don't even like anymore because I want to be around Magic cards because I'm so thrilled that they're doing good things. And that's just, you know, a little bit of how I feel about it.
Sweet. Yeah, I think it's, you know, any time that straight-up blue tempo decks are that powerful in Legacy, and it becomes problematic for the format. I think it's a real concern. And obviously, like I think Dave mentioned earlier, they just don't have the resources to test Legacy. So lots of cards slip through the gap, so to say, when it comes to testing for Legacy. So I think it's good. I think that they've taken the appropriate action.
The real problem with Treasure Cruise and Legacy is the fact that Legacy, with the largest available card pool, gives you, like, just reduces the cost. The cost of all the cards that you're going to play in Legacy are significantly lower than the cost of the other formats.
Right.
And so you play less lands, and so when you're going to draw three cards, you're going to draw... You have a higher likelihood of drawing spells in those three cards, which then cost less mana for you to play in the first place, which then allows you to play another Treasure Cruise to draw more of those spells. It was just a victim of the giant card pool at that point.
Right. So do you think...
As fun as it might be to cast Ancestral Recall, it's not fun
yeah.
to have to cast
I mean, but that's the thing. Do you think they designed the card, they developed the card, and they're thinking to themselves, we're trying to make an Ancestral Recall for Standard, right? We're going to draw three cards, it's going to cost 8 mana, but you can delve to make it cheaper. Does it occur to them, it has to occur to somebody, that this is going to be a problem in Vintage and Legacy, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they knew it. I'm not sure if they understood quite how broken it would become. But I'm sure they had an idea. I mean, the R&D is full of Pro Tour veterans who probably literally played Ancestral Recall many times in their lives. So, like, I'm sure they saw it coming. Whether or not they saw the severity, or if they were just willing to accept the one set, like, banned,
right.
being banned after one set, like, that's an interesting question that I'm sure Wizards will open up about at some point. But,
yeah, I hope so.
There's no way they didn't see it coming.
I hope so. So let's talk about unbannings. Three cards were unbanned. We'll talk about the least interesting first. That's World Gorger Dragon getting unbanned in Legacy. For those of you who don't know, World Gorger Dragon is one half of the Dragon combo deck that used to torment Vintage and Legacy alike. World Gorger Dragon's a creature from Judgment or Torment, I forget which one of those, who comes into play and exiles all your other permanents. And when he leaves play, you get to put them all back. And the trick that he combos with is Animate Dead. So Animate Dead's an enchantment. It enchants a creature in your graveyard and puts that creature back into play. Enchant the World Gorger Dragon comes into play. When it comes into play, it exiles your Animate Dead. Animate Dead leaves play. World Gorger Dragon goes back to the graveyard. World Gorger Dragon goes back to the graveyard. Animate Dead comes back into play. It's a vicious cycle during which all of your lands keep coming back into play untapped. So you generate an infinite amount of mana, finish off your opponent with a fireball, sign your match slip, and move on with your life.
Sounds like eggs, but worse. Or, well, maybe better since it has a dragon in it.
Right? I think at this point in Legacy's existence, with Dredge being a deck that's been around for a while, and with Reanimator... Reanimator being a deck that's playable, it seems to me as though another combo that relies on the graveyard isn't something we should really be worried about.
Yeah, I mean, Deathrite Shaman does a pretty good job of main decking some graveyard hate, so I bet they feel a lot safer with that card in Legacy. I don't know. World Gorger Dragon was one of the cards that I never understood why it was on the ban list. Probably because
right.
I was not around when it got banned. It just seemed like one of those weird cards.
Yeah, it's a card that's just been banned for a while.
Way back when.
I think you're right. Yeah. Deathrite Shaman's existence in the format, the existence of all the graveyard hate in the format.
Yeah, there's so much more graveyard hate now.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it should be safe enough.
Enemy captured zone B.
The unbanning of the troll.
Yeah.
Seems to be the most interesting unbanning.
The troll is the most interesting unbanning. So we can just gloss over Gifts Ungiven being unbanned in standard, right? Or in vintage, I mean.
Yeah, I don't even think that card's interesting.
For what it's worth, Gifts Ungiven was the cornerstone of the Dark Ritual decks way back in the day. I'm talking 2007, 2008, before it was banned, or restricted, I mean. Gifts Ungiven was really what fueled a lot of the Tendrils combo decks. So I don't see that really being a problem. Tendrils combo still is alive and well.
Yeah, I mean, did that put a dent in the combo? I mean, I having never
it did at the time.
Myself.
At the time, restricting Gifts Ungiven did put a dent in it. It allowed decks like Stax and Dredge and Mana Drain decks to have a fair chance.
Those decks don't sound fair.
Yeah, well, relatively fair, I should say. But
they had an unfair chance.
Right, exactly. The Gifts decks had been winning most of the major tournaments at the time, so it's not...
There were major vintage tournaments? Wow, this world sounds crazy that you're talking about.
So, anyways, Gifts Ungiven makes sense, World Gorger Dragon, nothing really too exciting. Hopefully some combo players have some fun. But the real meat and potatoes, Golgari Grave Troll being unbanned in Modern. Golgari Grave Troll, of course, is the Dredge 6. Dredge being, surprisingly, one of the most broken mechanics in the history of Magic.
Speaking of drawing cards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Zone C lost.
I think it always surprises the Wizards. It surprised the R&D folks at the time, for sure, how good Dredge ended up being.
You're in the lead.
So, Golgari Grave Troll Dredge 6 is returning, not returning, but making its debut in Modern. Kagari Trade
the
Troll.
Few cards that started out on the ban list, right?
Yep, one of the original original ban list cards for Modern. So we will find out what it can do. Of course, it will not be joined by its partner in crime, Dread Return, which I think is the right call. I think Dread Return has to remain banned in order for Modern to be a healthy format. But could the Grave Troll find a home? Is there a deck out there waiting to be built around Golgari Grave Troll?
There's a deck. Whether or not it's any good.
Do you hope there's a deck?
Question.
Do you want there to be a good Golgari Grave Troll deck? Does modern need a dredge deck? Right. There's one in Vintage. There's one in Legacy. They are not dominant, but they exist, and there isn't really the equivalent in Modern. Does the format?
Yeah.
With the
banning of Birthing Pod, like, it's yet to be determined what Modern even looks like without Birthing Pod, since so many decks that had creatures in them just were significantly worse than Birthing Pod and never got played. So it'll, one, be interesting to see what creature decks replace it, and honestly, Grave Troll would just be part of a graveyard-based creature deck, so I definitely wouldn't mind Grave Troll making an appearance since it's a creature-based deck, and those are my kind of decks. But it doesn't seem inherently broken in Modern currently. I don't think it'll make anything over. Cool. I wasn't there to be traumatized by it, so like maybe I'm just I just don't understand.
Well, and I think it's fair. It's missing a lot of the cards that historically made it such a threatening deck, and for that reason I think it'll be fine. I don't think we're gonna be sitting here in 3 months talking about how they had to put Golgari Grave Troll back on the banned list. Of course, with a Pro Tour coming up, if anyone was going to figure out a way to break Golgari Grave Troll, I suspect
it'll be Sam Black.
It could very well be Sam Black, one of the deck's champions for Legacy, and it could be Raphael Levy, who has been working on Life from the Loam decks a lot recently in Modern.
Another great card that I always wanted to play but never had the chance to play.
Loam, yeah.
There just wasn't a good Loam deck.
There used to be. Oh man, did there ever used to be. reminiscing.
It's a sideboard card sometimes in my Legacy deck.
Is it?
It's really fun when I play it. Yeah. It's recycling all of your waste. Yeah,
right.
Wasteland and Life from the Loam is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, you could play a deck like Seismic Assault Loam or Aggro Loam in Legacy. I don't know how good it would be.
There are people who do.
Yeah, it certainly exists. But getting back to Grave Troll, I think there's certainly casual decks to be built around Golgari Grave Troll, and I guess we're just going to have to wait and see if any of it pans out at the Pro Tour.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Rich. Something that I actually never really think about is, so this card started on the ban list. Never had the chance to see play. And currently doesn't look very threatening, like it's going to take over Modern. So that leads me to ask myself, like, why does this matter? Why even talk about a card that's not going to make an impact? But that's the spike side of me speaking. That's the tournament side of me speaking. I'm not the kind of person, like I used to be the kind of person, but I'm no longer the kind of person that puts together a deck for a format that isn't a supposedly top tier.
Right.
But there are plenty of people that take a deck that they really, really want to play that's probably tier 3, but it's just a ton of fun to play. And if Grave Troll isn't going to dominate the format, isn't going to break it, like, give those people the chance to play it in Modern. Like, why not? I mean,
exactly,
I have a blast. That's
right,
just not something I ever really thought about. That's a good point.
You've got players who like to go to tournaments like Monday nights at 20-sided and wherever you guys have local Modern tournaments that are not Grand Prix trials, they're not anything particularly special. They're just a bunch of people playing Modern. It's an opportunity for deck builders. It's an opportunity for everyone to just try out new things with a card that they never were able to do that with before. And unbannings are great. They're great for that. I think, you know, it's something Wizards has to be careful with, but it leads to an opportunity to build decks. And I think land tax being unbanned in Legacy last year was a great example of that, because there were suddenly so many people interested in building land tax decks and having fun with them.
So, Rich, in terms of unbanning then, imagine all the casual players who'd love to build decks with Jace the Mind Sculptor in Modern. Can you imagine? that card seems innocuous. Let all the casual players.
It's a tough, you know, Jace is a tough one. It's a very yeah. similar story to Golgari Grave Troll, right? Because Jace has been banned since day one in Modern. There's never been a Modern format with Jace the Mind Sculptor. And of course, Jace, when it was a problem for Standard, was banned from Standard alongside its partner, Stoneforge Mystic. And the two of them combined to make a very oppressive Standard environment, which was a problem for Wizards. And I think there's definitely a fear, similar with Dredge being so powerful in Vintage and Legacy, that a Jace the Mind Sculptor deck in Modern would be a problem, just because it was a problem in Standard. Unfortunately, I don't know that we're going to find out anytime soon whether or not Jace can live in Modern, but I think I think it's a fair point. I think I hope somebody in Wizards is doing the research to figure that out, right? Because now there's obviously a lot more development going on with respect to Modern. You can see that with products like the Modern Event Deck, the modern Masters sets. I think Ben Hayes, the designer on both those products, has a lot to do with that. And at the very least, I think we can have some. If they continue to unban cards and the effect is positive, then we can probably safely say that they know what they're doing by not unbanning Jace.
I mean, I mentioned Jace in jest. Like, thinking just the idea of Jace being played by casual players was funny to me. But I think Jace has, like, some serious secondary issues other than its pure power level. One is it's a $100 card. And unbanning a $100 card is just going to get you in trouble, because other people, like, unbanning a $100 card will automatically make it worth way more than $100. And so if you were ever going to unban a card like that, you'd probably have to, say, print more. But then you're dealing with printing more of a broken card and putting it possibly into formats that it was broken in before, like Standard.
How great of an announcement would it be if they came out in a few months and they announced that Jace was being unbanned and was going to be printed in Modern Masters 2?
Oh my god, that'd be awesome.
All of the Blue Bros would love it. other than that, I mean, really, I'm not sure unbanning Jace. So you couldn't print him as a mythic and have the price come down. Tarmogoyf
right.
showed that, right? And Tarmogoyf yeah. wasn't even banned, so Tarmogoyf was already, like, there was no announcement that caused Tarmogoyf to spike. And so they reprinted Tarmogoyf, and he just became more expensive because people wanted to play a pretty rare card. And Jace is a $100 card being banned, and if
right.
you reprint him as a mythic, like every Planeswalker since Lorwyn has been printed, it's not going to do anything to the price. So, like, there's
right
unless you print him as like
it'll
one
make
of the,
it go up.
Yeah, exactly.
So Jace,
unless you
Jace
open up a commander product with Jace right. as the
so there's factors the, there's factors to be considered with unbanning Jace
other than the gameplay
other
yeah,
than the actual game. And that's unfortunate. But I think Jace obviously a little overpowered. I don't want to sit here and speculate on which cards can and can't be unbanned, because I feel like an article comes out every week these days on which cards can and can't be unbanned from Modern. And you know, I think there's a point at which players, I get it, it's interesting to talk about, and some people have valid ideas on that topic. But I guess the question becomes, how much do we trust Wizards to properly manage the banned and restricted lists? And at some point, a lot of casual players I know and have played with in the past have just completely ignore the banned and restricted lists that Wizards puts out. Yes.
Casual players? I don't know what those are. What is that?
What is with this map? Why do we get it 8 times in a row?
This is the fourth time in a row that we've had this map.
It might be because I'm carrying the bounty to kill people on vehicles.
Yeah.
Bravo, team.
Destiny just knows that all I want to do is sit around and snipe people. That's all I ever
do. It's working really well, Dave. I see you near the top of the scoreboard every single game.
Oh, no, I'm at the bottom, but my KD's been pretty good.
We won by just under 100 points last time.
I saw that.
That's probably some of my sniper kills. Headshots give me an extra 10 points.
Gosh.
Can I ask you guys, can we do a predictions?
Sure.
What's the likelihood that there's a Golgari Cave Troll deck in the Pro Tour?
You mean
that does
played?
Like reasonably well,
it does reasonably well.
Yeah, that we
well.
Get to see it. Yeah. Do you think it's going to happen?
I think... that's a tough call. I think it'll happen. I think somebody.
I want to say yes, real bad.
The effect.
I mean, I think a lot of it depends on the metagame. I think like the problem with Grave Troll in Modern right now is probably that it's not overpowered, but that it takes advantage, just like in Vintage, of people not sideboarding for Dredge, you know, not sideboarding for the graveyard. It's easy to hate out and. Can only really be broken and super successful when nobody's hating it out. And so if at the Pro Tour people are metagaming for control-y decks or creature decks
Delver
that
decks.
Are ignoring, you know, or Delver decks and are ignoring the graveyard, then sure, like a Grave Troll deck could possibly take the tournament by storm. But I don't think there's a shell waiting for it that will just break tournament wide open unless people just completely ignore the graveyard.
I don't think
no rest in pieces.
I don't think there's going to be a Grave Troll deck that makes the top 8, but I can definitely imagine a Grave Troll deck that can make day 2.
Heavy ammo inbound.
Especially in the
hands you get 3 draft wins and 1 modern win and you're in day 2. So
exactly.
That's entirely possible. I agree.
So I think we could see a modern a Grave Troll deck grace day 2, but I don't think it'll go much further than that.
Alright, so a second prediction. How likely is it that that player making day 2 with Grave Troll is Abe Lusk?
Unlikely.
Unlikely, I agree. I'll take the under on whatever percentage you gave me for that.
Do we know yet? We have a lot of... There's a lot of local players going to this Pro Tour. Right?
Yeah, so it's Abe Lusk, Richard Tan, Hugh Kramer, Brendan McNamara. Those are the 4 just off of TDL that I can think of.
Yeah.
And there are probably more I'm not personally friends with. It's really an amazing accomplishment for Brooklyn specifically.
And a lot of this has to do with Team Draft League, yeah? You guys have really... because the PTQs were sealed, right? That everyone won a sealed PTQ to get into Pro Tour Fate Reforged. So I guess the next step is to convince all of them to play play Grave Troll decks, right?
Yeah, I'll start on Brendan tomorrow at the Hipsters of the Coast meeting.
I think I think it's going to be a very exciting Pro Tour. It takes place in a few weeks, right? It's February. Is it February 5th, 6th, 7th, or is it January? Is it next weekend? Which weekend is it? It's.
I don't think it's next weekend.
It's
usually
2 weeks.
2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks after the set is released.
Yeah, right? So
except
I think
it's released this weekend.
So I think it's 2 weeks. I'll be trying to follow the coverage the best I can while I'm on vacation. But I think it's going to be a very healthy format, and there's going to be a lot of exciting new decks that we could all look forward to seeing jammed against us in modern tournaments for the rest of our lives.
Because if news is, I don't think Sifka is going to be winning this one with eggs. So
yeah,
that is true.
You know, if anything, because we have a format that's completely unknown, followed by a pro tour in that format, you can almost guarantee that everybody will just start playing whatever decks are successful at this pro tour, and probably probably whichever decks are not successful at the pro tour as well, will also see a decent amount of play.
Yeah.
So aside from Golgari Grave Troll, what would you like to see win or top 8 or just do well at the
Creatures.
Tour? Creatures. Zoo? Yes. Do we want to see the return of Wild Nacatl now that Birthing Pod's not?
Yeah, I mean, so Birthing Pod, technically a creature deck for sure, but I think Modern, like there was a time when Blue wasn't good in Modern, but Blue seems to have cast a large shadow over Modern for the past year, year and a half. And seeing a creature deck just beat down on someone holding counter spells is what I want to see.
Matt, what do you want to see?
I want to see some sort of Tribal Geist Zoo deck will.
Tribal Geist Zoo.
Tribal play.
The Luis Chata School of Playing. Geist of Saint Draft.
But you know what? You know what? Honestly, I would really like to see win. Slippery Bottom. Like, I'm not even lying. I love that deck so much, and I want it to win everything always.
Do you think Boggle has a place in the new metagame?
I have no idea. I never understand metagames.
If Reduke is playing it, then it definitely has a place in the metagame.
It's an interesting deck. That's for sure. Interesting is definitely the word I would use for that deck.
It's the nicest word that you could use of the ones you were probably thinking.
Fortunately, I got out of Magic around the time that deck became popular, so I never had to suffer its wrath.
He's just so cute, the little Boggle.
He is a cute little Boggle. Oh my god.
Definitely a different time in Magic Art when Slippery Boggle was possible.
Oh, the whole Lorwyn block, you didn't even need to get me started on how excellent all the art is, how excellent that world is. It's just amazing. I love it so much.
Lorwyn was great for art, but
do you have a deck you want to see, Rich?
I want to see Grave Troll. Man, it's look, I sold virtually my entire Magic collection. I don't play anymore. I love the game. I love watching it. But there's a deck box sitting next to my desk that has my Legacy Dredge deck in it. And I would love nothing more than to see a Dredge deck put up some numbers at this Pro Tour. So that's about
all.
Who
are you, Robert?
What does Rob want to see at the Pro Tour?
I want to see everything you guys said. Make me happy.
Rob wants to see whatever will make the post Pro Tour podcast most interesting.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever mixes the decks up makes it sort of like a no guaranteed kills and shit.
Yeah.
Right.
An unpredictable metagame would be awesome.
Ablusk winning the Pro Tour would be
great. Ablusk winning the Pro Tour would be great.
Or Ablusk winning the Pro Tour.
We should. What have we got? We got. We'll be back next week to talk. Maybe we'll talk about the Pro Tour next week and see if we can get one of these jokers who's going to the Pro Tour to give us some of their secrets.
Oh, it'd be cool to have one of them learn how to play Destiny.
There you go. Let's get Hugh on a PlayStation and teach him how to play Destiny.
See, the reason they're on the Pro Tour is that they're not wasting their time playing Destiny, and they got really good at this other game called Magic the Gathering.
That sounds like a cool game. How do you play it?
I don't know. It's really hard.
It involves... something. It involves...
gnomes. Bardic gnome.
You hit the nail right on the head there. Getting good at magic requires something. So, on that note, I think it's time for me to keep dying as we get crushed at this game. And that's it for this week's episode. Hope you all enjoyed our discussion of the Banned and Restricted List, and tune in next week to learn more about Pro Tour Fate Reforged and who's going to the local area. And with that, which button do I press again? Is it the share button to get out of here?
Hey Guardians, thanks for tuning in to the Doom Travelers Podcast, where we discuss Magic the Gathering while playing Destiny. You can find more at doomtravelers.com or visit hipstersatthecoast.com for additional Magic content. Thanks to Robert Colpitz for joining us in the Crucible this week, and thanks to Wizards of the Coast for saving Magic by banning Treasure Cruise. For my co-hosts Rich Stein and Matt the Obliterator Jones, I'm David Bowens McCoy. See you next time. Nothing past William Howard Tuck.